Good morning. I am happy to be with you this morning. It is a good thing to be here in the house of the Lord, amen. And I am here today and saying praise God. So, hello. This morning, I want to thank all the new lifers that have tuned in. I'm glad I can connect with you during these times. I'm very happy about it. And as I start today, I'm going to be talking about faith. And I believe that there is so many things God is speaking. In fact, I think the voices we want to hear is the voice of the Lord. We want to hear the men of God that are praying and seeking God, even in this season. What would God say? And I think it's important. But I'm going to talk a bit about faith today. And I want to remind you of something. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Again, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, just as we begin to even talk about faith, peace is really critical for a simple reason. And I want to get something in your spirit this morning. Peace is never dependent on circumstance. And in the scripture, the word even used in the Greek, and in the Hebrew, shalom. It is never dependent on that which is going around you. And we have to always ask ourselves in times that are trying, Lord, change what's going on inside of me. It is also good to pray to change the world and change the things in the world. It is good to intercede. But, you know, the interesting thing right now is we need to walk in peace. And you need to have a sense in your spirit when your peace is messed with. When people try to place their bondage of fear on you, you need to literally guard your heart, because a lot of walking as a believer requires peace. It requires faith. And faith will bring peace. And it's important, okay? But as we talk about faith today, I want to encourage you in this reality. As a believer, there's probably little subjects that you haven't heard. I don't know if there's one word we could come up with and you go, I've never heard a sermon on that. I've never thought about that. I think we've heard a lot. But when you look at the scripture, the truth of God, it is a living reality. And as you're growing in Christ, the truth of God's word reapplies and even opens wider. So in your spirit, you need to keep your mind open. Because when we think we've heard it all, or we know, you know, we hear a word and think we've heard all that we can, or we've thought about a subject, your day-to-day life is actually what's going to manifest that truth in you, or the lack of that truth. And as you go through situations, the word of God is, God gave it to us. It's the greatest gift. And he gave it to those that are living, those that are stepping in it. It is not an accumulation of simple facts or memory verses. So this is really important this morning, but every sermon is, but is your spirit open? But let's all pray this morning just that God would open our hearts and our spirits. Father, we pray this morning. And we want an open heart. Lord, we can come and say, you know, my eyes are open, I'm awake, and, you know, I'm going to listen to this thing just in my mind. But our spirits need to be open. Your word changes us. Your word challenges us. Your sword must go through our heart and cause the effect to our decisions, to our living. That's the reality of the word become flesh. That's your desire. I pray as we step day to day, every season brings forth the speech of God, but also the voice of man. Every season we are in requires a faith to live by, absolutely. So I pray that even as we just get into the word today and we get into this sermon, that you would touch and you would affect people this morning. I pray your anointing would move, your literal glory, your physical glory would touch beings right now. We believe that is what you want to do, Lord. And again, answer the questions in the minds and the hearts of your people this morning. Because you are God, you know every viewer, you know every challenge, you know everything we are dealing with even now in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Faith is not simply an aid to your actions, because a lot of times we do things and we say, you know, God, give me faith to do this, give me faith to do that. And I think in many ways, and I'll show you how that's a bit misaligned, faith in of itself will move you to particular actions. And they will be, if faith will be needed as you move to the actions to accomplish the actions. But this is about seeing God where He is. This is about following the Lord where He's going. So I don't really want you to view faith as an element you add to your actions. I'd rather you look at faith as really seeing God and where He's going and where He commands you and following Him. I think a lot of times we view faith as a magical fairy dust that, you know, God pours on us and we can believe anything. And I actually believe even in the scripture, faith was very connected to the will of God. Faith was very connected to the word of God. Faith was totally connected to the actual actions of God. When Jesus said, I can only do what I see the Father doing, He's defining faith right there. He could only do what He sees it. And you go, He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He could do anything. He because He's God in Himself. God cannot doubt Himself. Jesus the Son cannot doubt Himself. But He gives a lesson to sons and daughters of God that is really critical. I can only do what I see the Father doing. And I know I move in unison with the Father. We need to say, I could do whatever I see. I can only do whatever I see Jesus doing. I think there's a lot of times we feel like we failed in faith because, again, we viewed faith as a separate entity, as some magic that God gives us to believe for anything. And the faith you have, it has to be in the Son of God, and it has to be in what He's doing, and you need to be following Him. And I think a lot of people go, you know, I failed at faith because I just couldn't believe God for this or that. Well, really more importantly, what was the will of God? And did you step out and did you follow Him? And did you make sure to keep your eyes on Him as you stepped out? Faith in of itself will move you to particular actions because it's all about the will of God. It's all about trusting Him and what He is doing and trusting Him and His desire for you and stepping out in obedience and trusting the Lord. I want you to go to Romans 14:20. What's not of faith is sin. What an incredible verse that we need to digest in our spirit. What's not of faith is sin. Now, this chapter, Romans 14, verse 20, we're going to start. Paul is speaking to the Romans, and he's speaking to them about, you know, eating, what foods are clean, unclean. And he truly believed that the Lord had absolutely given us the ability that even the kosher things that God had laid out in the law were an example of our sanctification, our separation, and that, you know, call not unclean what God has cleansed. So he, in Romans 14:20, he lays out different things. And he says in verse 23, because I was raised Messianic Judaism, and I worship with believing Jews, such as the people I was with, such as myself, that believed in Jesus. And there were issues sometimes in our church where our assembly on our Shabbat service, there were saints there that had become born again, but they were kosher. And they hadn't been to the place to where they could not be kosher, and God was growing them. So I saw a lot of this working, but I want to read to you. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Now listen to this. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And I kind of went, wow. Because this lesson, Paul doesn't say right or wrong. He talks about those walking in faith. And even to receive, whether they're going to eat something that goes outside the dietary laws, they need to trust that God has cleansed it. So it's interesting because faith takes us not only in a dimension of right or wrong, but the issue of walking in faith in the things that you do is critical. Even the practical issues in our life are faith first. How many times do you do something, even something you go, God's given me a liberty in this thing, and yet you really don't do it in faith. You don't do it trusting the Lord. Because again, what's amazing about this is whatever is not from faith is sin. We oftentimes look at faith for big tasks and new things we will do. But the scripture deals with faith far more diffused in so many subjects of our life and just says, whatever is not from faith is sin. The things that you are called to do, it requires faith first. Now, we'll get into this a little later. Listen, faith has to cover everything. You know, when we even look at the issues in our life, this is talking about a brother who didn't feel the liberty to eat non-kosher, even though he might have heard that God has cleansed all things and we eat through faith. But what's amazing is this brother doubts when he eats, and it says he's condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. It's an amazing thing that faith first, faith in everything, trusting God. It's not a simple matter even here of just right or wrong, but walking in faith. Faith is synonymous with breathing. See, another thing that I really feel we do as saints is we believe we need a super faith for these big tasks, but we don't even consider faith for daily existence. And not only is it wrong, but it's not even biblical. So I see saints all the time doing little actions and things that are actually founded not in faith, but in fear. I see Christians doing little things. They don't even think they need to trust God, and they trust themselves. And yet the scripture says, whatever is not from faith, it is sin. So God is not giving a break to what he calls the desperate need for faith. Everything you approach is faith first. Whether that is your eating, whether that is your drinking, whether that is your giving. I wonder how many times, what's interesting, you know, we often talk about giving and tithing. And, you know, in so many ways, giving and being trusting God, it really is a display of our faith. Do we trust God? Who brings what we get? Do we hoard it? Do we get greedy? Do we start thinking, oh, I don't know if I can spare this? There is so many times sin going on in the Christian's life because it is not faith first. And many times we will even do things in a blind obedience, really needing to get the benefit. You know, even the actions you do for God that you know God has called you to, you have to do in faith. Even the actions that you know God's called you to do. And again, a lot of times we view two categories. There's stuff I can just do. And of course, I believe in God, blah, blah, blah. But there's these bigger things, and I really need faith. And that's actually a huge error. And I actually believe the enemy planted that in the church. Because you got Christians walking around with 25 actions that all reek of trust in themselves. They reek of no faith. They do things like rote without even believing. In fact, you know, the greatest benefit you can get in all that you do for the Lord is that when you do it, it is done in total faith. And that you understand the truth regarding any practice you have. We got to check ourselves again. This is not a small issue. This is pretty much this is the whole farm and everything in it. Everything you approach is faith first. Now, I want to explain something. If what's not a faith is sin, and if faith is God's very blood flow in us and we need it, then the enemy is constantly trying to delete your faith and have you trust in yourself and your actions. That's what it's all about. In fact, the fear of man is a snare. The devil, let's use the word the devil. I don't hear the word the devil. Isn't it odd? Because maybe it's not hip or something. But the devil is going to constantly try to wear down the saints. He is going to constantly try to get you to trust in yourself. He is constantly going to have you do things that show a striving and a disbelief that God is with you. That is what he does. And the enemy doesn't sleep. The enemy doesn't take a break. In fact, he understands when you begin to move without faith, he understands there's a sense of a self-condemnation. He also understands that when you don't do what you do in faith, you are not receiving the benefits of that action. Did you know that? If you do and go through religious practice and rote, and there is not a spirit of faith upon it, you are not receiving in your spirit the full benefit of what God actually wants to give you. And I'm not just talking materialistically. I'm talking in your spirit. There are so many times we get so used to saying Father God, and so many times we get used to speaking in tongues, and so many times we get used to the actions we take. We don't even question if we believe what we're actually doing. And this is so critical. Your alarms need to go off in your spirit when you step out of faith and you step into trusting yourself. That should bother your spirit. Many Christians, I believe, are plagued deeply because they are faithless. and they move and act in their life by their own hand, and they walk around like this all the time, and they trust themselves, they trust their own defense of themselves. And the sad thing about it is they're receiving very little from God. Even in James, when it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, he will not receive anything from God. So, and actually that connects it. Because if I'm doing something for the Lord that he has called me to, or I'm obeying the scripture and being obedient, and I'm doing it empty, and I don't trust God, I'm not receiving much from God. The actions even will be reduced. And my sense from God, and the joy that he brings, and the peace he brings, will be reduced. Faith is synonymous with breathing. You need faith as much as you need to breathe, without which you will choke, without which your spirit will dry up. I got a question as we look in even. When you are faced with potential danger, what's the first thing you do? Do you ask God to shore up your faith, or do you go do something humanly to protect yourself? Is that what you do? And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, we've kind of rolled this around for decades now, you know. Well, there's nothing wrong. I mean, faith isn't stepping in the middle of the Dan Ryan Expressway and saying the car won't hit you. And that is true. That's foolishness. But at the same time, when you are faced with a potential danger, what's the first thing you do? Do you declare my trust is in order? Do you take some human actions to feel safer? I got to explain something to you. There is nothing wrong many times as you would take a precaution with something. But if that was your first reflex and trusting God was far behind that, you're in error. Now, this doesn't just pertain to this season. This pertains to your life. This is bigger than the season we're in. Faith is our entire existence. But I ask that question again. When you are faced with potential danger, and I don't mean actual danger, but the thought of something threatens you, what's the first thing you do? Do you go to the Lord and say, shore up my faith? I trusted you before I do anything. Or do you go take some human action and then ask God to give you some faith? And you know what? That's a walking contradiction, because when you do that, your whole foundation of whatever that action is sitting in fear, and it's not God. And the net result will harvest more fear. It amazes me many times, and I've seen Christians through the years, and we've all been there, where there's something goes on, and it does try one's trust in God. And I've seen it, where the first reaction is human defense. The first reaction is taking their own action, sometimes even in objection to God's word and what God's word tells them to do in any situation. There are so many saints that in their life, not now, not just now, but they anticipate dangers that they're actually technically not even facing. That's called fear. Did you know that, guys? When you anticipate dangers that aren't near you, that is called fear. That is not called being practical. That is not called walking in faith. You know, it's interesting, and in this season even, I heard a virologist say, and he said that, you know, when you're in Walmart, I don't know why he brought Walmart, probably because we all shop there even during the shut-in, because many of us, that's where we get a lot of our stuff. He said, if you're actually in the store and a person sneezes, it's about a 98.9% chance that they're not sick with this current virus. Now, this is a virologist. This wasn't a man of faith. This wasn't a preacher. And yet, so many times, even out in society, people are so pensive. And they don't operate from the idea that somebody is sick and you may want to be concerned. But it's always the thought that everywhere they go and everything they're doing, somebody may carry this. And the fact of the matter is, if you even look at numbers, again, there's this over-fear and this anticipation. You know, it's interesting. And I hate to say this, but we need a change in the way we see things. And fear will never direct us in the path of God. And fear being labeled or dressed up with the dress of caution will still not do no good. Now, I really believe there are so many times that God challenges us. And I remember a specific a challenge I've told you about before, speaking in my prayer language, praying in tongues. Now, the scripture talks about different kinds of tongues, and a lot of people don't realize this, but there is an ecstatic language many times that no man can understand, even according to the scripture. It's not a particular linguistical language, but no man can understand. We speak great mysteries to God, it says. In fact, Paul says when he speaks in a tongue, his inside is edified. But not necessarily those around him, and he was trying to put order in the Corinthian church. And I remember the Lord challenged me, because I'd been a charismatic all my life. I'd been touched by the Spirit of God, even day 3. I had a prayer language, and the Lord absolutely said, do you believe you are doing what the Scripture says you are doing when you use your prayer language? And when he said it, it was in my spirit, that those words in my heart. The minute he said it, I understood the challenge was far deeper than going, of course I believe God, because two reasons. It was God that was asking me, not man. And he sees my heart, and he said, you've got to believe what it says you're doing when you do that. Faith has to be there. We can learn to do stuff so automatically that we never even check if there's faith behind our actions. And that actually doesn't work, and that is not a good thing. So I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to believe what you say. I want you to think about something, even in the area of faith. If we really believed in the presence of Jesus as he draws us together, who would want to miss a service? If we believe that God's word was from the very finger of God, who would neglect it? If we believe the creator of the universe really, really gave us the book to guide our lives, who would possibly want to do the opposite? And yet, again, there are so many displays in the body of Christ that prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that people don't believe at all what they're doing. Too many saints anticipating danger that isn't not even coming towards them. Too many saints in the bondage. Too many saints going through the religious practices, whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's worship. Do you understand? You know, I've preached that when we worship, the heavens were, actually at one point, were in rhythm with the heavens. If that was really the belief in many saints, do you believe people would be sleeping, bored, hesitant, and really have no heart to worship? God is challenging our lives to walk in faith in every area. God is challenging you to see beyond human sight, and he is challenging you to start realizing that what's not a faith is sin, absolutely. And we need to absolutely have a red light go off in our spirit when we begin to depend upon ourselves, because it is actually a great sin. It's not a weakness, it's a sin. Now, Hebrews 11:29, and I want you to go there with me. This is what they call the hall of faith. And I want to read this. Hebrews 11:29. Because it mentions many things they did by faith. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now let me explain something to you. Israel, by faith, put blood on their doorposts. That was by faith. Do you understand that? That was by faith. A lot of people go, no, they put the blood even if they didn't trust it. And I actually, the point I believe is they believed and they did it because they believed God had spoken. And the death angel passed over their houses. God freed Israel from Egypt in one day. And it took about 40 years to get Egypt out of the hearts of Israel. But it says they passed through the Red Sea. They were brought up to the Red Sea. As you know, the Pharaoh's armies were behind them. They were freaking out. In fact, the one thing that Israel did all the time is they constantly doubted God. And what's interesting is the whole first generation that came out of Egypt died except a couple, because what their actions were not accompanied by faith. See, a lot of people think, oh, they're in the wilderness and they're going in this journey, and yeah, they doubt God, but it's ultimately all right. But if you actually look at what happened, even in Hebrews, it confirms it. 99.9% of the generation died never getting into the promised land for 40 years, and they were right by it, and they kept going in circles. But when they went through the Red Sea, I love what it says. Even as God's door opened and the seas parted, they still needed to have faith to walk through the waters. See, in our Christianity, a lot of times God opens a door and he brings us to something. And when we see the door open, we kind of all of a sudden, well, faith got me here. And we don't understand that it takes faith to walk in that thing God has brought. Many times we section off our faith. We believe God to get there, but we don't believe we even need to believe God to go through. And it's a real thing that we do often in our own spirits. Can you imagine, even as Israel's going on dry ground, these waters, the wall of waters by the Red Sea, I mean, this is pretty intense. It says, but by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. I want to bring something out. It doesn't mean just because the waters were parted, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. It means that they treated that as dry land with no threat. When you're on dry land, you don't go, "Ooh, I wonder if an ocean will sweep over me," because it's dry land. And a lot of people miss this inflection here. They went through as though on dry land. They didn't see it as walls of water. I love the old Cecil B. DeMille Ten Commandments, where the water stands up and it parts. I love that. But I love the fact that God opens doors for you. And he, you know, a lot of times we're saying, yeah, I'm kind of believing God, and we're going through the Red Sea, but I'm afraid of the walls, and that's actually not believing God at all. It says, Israel passed through the Red Sea as though on dry land. There was no thought in them about the walls of water. This is important to get a hold of because we often bargain with cheap faith. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer used the word cheap grace. I'm making one today. Cheap faith. We're walking in paranoia and kind of stepping, and we're a little afraid as we're stepping. We're saying, I got a little faith here. But the reality is God wants you to walk through your Red Sea as though you were on dry land. And faith truly in your spirit does this. The Lord's called you to walk through many Red Seas, and yet even if he brings you to the sea and parts it, you still got to walk through the sea and believe God. Now, obviously, it says that the Egyptians attempted it and were drowned. Well, they didn't have faith. They didn't believe in the Lord. In fact, they believed in 100,000 other false deities, and they had placed their trust in Pharaoh, the divine. And yet, their God, Pharaoh, sent them out, but their God could not keep the seas from drowning them. Now, you need to think about this because, again, God's going to open doors, but just because the door starts to open, if you think I got here and there's no need for faith, you would be so wrong. And you would miss the whole entire point of what God really wants you to walk like. The waves were held up by faith, not nature. And it's interesting because there's an interactive as they go through the Red Sea on dry ground. Their faith, it's real. See, a lot of times I've often seen Christians kind of go, well, I'm weak and I disbelieve and I walk in doubt all the time, but thank God he's faithful. Actually, it's interesting because God himself says what's not of faith is sin. Bottom line, what's not of faith is sin. We should take challenges to our faith and be happy about it. Many times we get a challenge to our faith and we're walking in a bunch of fear and our stomach's tied in knots and our health is getting affected, and that's not walking by faith. God has a greater faith for us to walk in. God has a greater trust for us to trust. Read you another one, 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, this is interesting. Faith takes patience, and in instant gratification and faith don't always see eye to eye. Now, I want you to understand something. Moses knew he was kind of the adopted son. And he had privileges growing up, but when he matured and he came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That would be like you growing up in Bill Gates' household and he says, son, to you. And he says, all that is mine is yours. And you say, you're not my father. And I'm going to take a pass on your money. I don't want the passing pleasures of sin. Think about the strength in Moses. In fact, that statement, he chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God. So immediate gratification may get delayed when it comes to faith and future blessings. Where are you at when God speaks to you and wants you to stand up? Moses actually denies the very Pharaoh himself. And even with that, he is choosing a possibility eventually of death, and as we see how it works. But I love this. He chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, it's interesting. Sin, any sin, and all sin is a passing pleasure, meaning sin in of itself is dark and it's evil. And when we attach ourselves to sin in any area, it's going to be really temporal. It's interesting because I've seen even Christians backslide and throw away their eternity for something they wanted. And yet what they wanted, even if they've obtained it, is a very, very temporal arrangement. Think about this. God has called us to step up in faith. God has called us to refuse the hand of man. To refuse sometimes even that which would seem like a great advantage at the time, but is not of him. And we know it happens. Moses ends up in Midian because he slays an Egyptian soldier, and he found out that other people knew about it. And it's funny because even the people he was called to deliver, that's the first place he heard that somebody else knew about it, what he had did. But that's also interesting because early on, Moses tried to perform his calling by his own hand. And he got a bitter awakening because it was God who would allow Moses. And he needed to have faith in the Lord. When he slays that soldier, he believes that now is the time. I'm God's deliverer of Israel. And he actually, it even shows that Moses had a faith. He believed what God said of him. In fact, by what he did in Pharaoh's house, it already shows a faith. But isn't it interesting, even with that calling and his faith in the calling, bringing about the calling and him striving out of faith is still there. Now, I want you to be encouraged by this because Moses knows he's a deliverer of Israel in Egypt. He knows that. And yet, even with that entry into the Red Sea, he needed faith to keep moving forth. And what's he do? He kills a soldier on his own strength. And he attempts to be the deliverer by his own hand. Isn't it interesting that if a calling is even upon your life, that even that calling being on your life is not the ability to no longer trust God? And Moses found out really the hard way because Moses was not the total man of faith yet. God would take him to Midian for many years. And in Midian, he would develop and become the man that God meant him to be. But he would have to be broken. His pride would have to be broken. His trust in himself to bring about God's work would have to be totally broken. Now, you look at 40 years in the Midian desert, and obviously he starts a family and all these things, but you look at it, and it's amazing. Are we that stubborn when we seek to walk in our own strength and not faith? Can we do 40 years? Let me tell you something. You better believe it. You can do 80 years. The human heart, if it's hardened and arrogant and attempts its own attempt to bring about God's will, is not only stubborn, but it will do Midian 20, 40, and 50 years easily. Because I also want you to remember something. As we talk about walking in faith in all areas of our life, faith is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. I want you to think about that for a second. And again, faith takes patience. How many times I've seen people go, I stepped out. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? I stepped out. I did this. And why is he letting me down? And I'm amazed. It's like, wow. I need a faith that endures, not a faith that's a seasonal. I need a faith that I say, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. I need a faith that lasts. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we will make an initial call and trust God for something. But very quickly, that faith diminishes because of what we see. And I will watch people, in a way, not realize that their faith was very half-hearted even committing. And yet, it comes up, and the Lord's not trying to kill us. He's trying to grow faith in us. In fact, God's mercy, I've seen it in so many different things I've did. And I, but of all people, I know clearly what it is to try to bring about God's will by my own strength. I've did it again. And again, and again. And you would think the pain from failure would finally, you know, hello, knock, you know, and let God in. But our stubbornness is an amazing thing. Our arrogance is an amazing thing. Our pride is an amazing thing. And our self-reliance is amazing. And it is such a misplaced trust. Because if you trust in yourself, you got a lot of pain coming. You do. And your perimeters of your existence are very narrow. Faith wants to free you. Think about this. Faith wants to free you to follow the Lord where he goes. I've been blessed that I've been in countries and seen different governments, communists and socialists, and I've watched pastors in the face of, threats you have no idea, clearly move forth in faith. In fact, their conclusion is, I'm walking in faith. There's not a doubt. They're not going, oh, I wonder if I should. I could be arrested, thrown into prison. Because they serve Jesus. He is their master. They don't have two masters. My heart and prayer for this country is that the church actually gets faith. That we need to understand that the trusting in the hand of man is dangerous. Trusting in ourselves is dangerous. Even in the current situation we hit, you know, it's interesting. Because the answer to many of you saints, all of us, all saints in the church in America is going to be faith, not fact. You know, at one point we talk about practicality, we talk about caution, and I'm actually good with all of that. But at the other point, Jesus is our Lord, and we step out in faith. I'm amazed many times at how readily people jump into fear. Who have you been trusting all these years you've been a Christian? Yourself? God calls us to faith. God calls us to faith. But the thing is, this isn't just about now. In fact, I would hope we could see it at a much bigger picture, because this is just a short season. Your need to walk in faith is yesterday, 10 years ago, your whole life in Christ. The desperate need for faith was always calling you. Faith, and I wrote this down in my notes, is God's will being lived out. It's the very will of God that comes with faith. One of the reasons we attempt faith and fall, as I said, because many times our faith really isn't about following the Lord's express will. You know, and it is kind of sad, because many times the younger we are, the stronger our pride and our will is. And many times we want something and God's not really said yes. We want it. We want it to happen. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to do whatever we got to do. We want it to happen, and we're striving. I really believe that many times our frustration with our failures and our task are very connected to that. We're still wrapped into what we're doing. We're still doing what we want to do. And it's interesting, because I know as a fact, faith many times is the separating yourself from what you want and agreeing with what God wants, no matter the cost. If you look at every example in Hebrews 11, here's what you're going to find, no matter what you look at. It is always the person of faith, Abraham, everybody. It is mostly, in almost all cases, about a person finding the express will of God and agreeing to it and walking with it. If you look in the scripture, the faith is always, the people in the hall of fame, is hall of faith as we call it in Hebrews 11, is about men that knew the will of God and followed God where he was going. It's as simple as that. See, I'm not worried about you trying to build up this magical fairy dust of faith. I'm actually more concerned about all of us knowing God's desire, knowing God's will, and moving forth with that in faith. Leviticus 11:27, still talking about Moses. By faith, he, speaking Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, as an interesting thing, we could make a nifty saying and saying that faith allows you to see God, because actually it does. Moses had an intimacy with the Father, and Moses understood God's will in his life. Moses was not perfect by any means, but Moses could see God in a sense in his spirit. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And the wrath of the king, and I want to explain something to you, the wrath of the king is death. To defy Pharaoh was to invite your own death. Let's repeat that. To defy Pharaoh is really an inviting your own death, and a sure death, might I add. But by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. It's a real simple statement. Moses wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. But here's another thing we need to think of. Early on, Moses was afraid of Pharaoh. When he killed the Egyptian soldier that was beating one of his countrymen, and then he found out that it was actually known, because he buried him in the sand and thought he did it privately, and he finds out that it's known, and he flees. Isn't it interesting that the younger Moses fears the wrath of the king, but the older Moses, whom God had dealt with and broken in the Midian desert, he does not fear the wrath of the king. In fact, the Moses that comes back even says, God says, let my people go. So what's fascinating about Moses and his evolution, like your evolution, is that the younger version trusted himself, the older version trusted God. The younger version feared imminent death. The older version had no fear at all. Now, I'm saying this to encourage your spirit this morning, because oftentimes people study themselves when it comes to faith. like, I got to work this faith up. You know, you see movies where a guy's supposed to have faith and he shuts his eyes and breathes deep and then he has the faith. But it is so out of step with God's word. You know, I love different films, and you know me, I love Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I got to tell you something. It is definitely not the scripture. But are you going to be the person after 40 years in Midian that God, when you come back and you don't fear a certain death? You don't fear a certain outcome because you know God is with you. You know the Lord is with you. You know, by faith, God sees Moses. He sees him in his spirit. And seeing God, I want to explain this to you, and this is really critical. Seeing God, okay, seeing God is really critical to faith. You need to know where he's going, and in your spirit, you need to see him. And I'm not necessarily talking about an auditory or literal visual seeing God, but in your spirit, seeing God, understanding his will, hearing his voice. One thing that I realize in all of our lives that I have many times, even as a pastor, we get so used to doing what we do. I preach weekly, sometimes twice a week. I do this, I do that. I can many things you get learn how you can do it in your sleep. You can go through the motions. But the real challenge is doing what we do in faith. Do I believe when I come to speak to you, does God speak through me? I actually do. Does that mean I'm arrogant? Absolutely not. In fact, I'm a trophy of God's grace. Absolutely. I always have been. I always will be. I don't believe God speaks through me, actually, because I'm anything. I believe God speaks to me. He wants to speak to you. He wants the teacher to speak as the oracles of God. And actually, again, I trust what the Word says about even the process of preaching and prophesying and how it all works. But you know, many preachers, and we can get into this too, when we're young, we're full of ourselves, we're full of ideas. We can do things. You know, many times I'll watch a man that is fluent in speech giving. And he mistakes that for the anointing of God. And the truth is, I feel sorry. Because it's a lot of arrogance and just a lot of hot air. If you hear this today and say, that's not me, I'm not Moses, I'm not this, I'm not that, you're just wrong. You are exactly going to be what God's called you to be. But he's asked you to trust him in all seasons. In fact, I would say, as I said earlier, I don't get caught up in the minutiae of this current situation. I'm seeing God pour out his spirit right now. He promised me, even during this closing time, he would make men and women of prayer more great men and women of prayer. That he would change people. That he would free people from demonic spirits that oppress them. This is exactly what he told me. And yet, during this time, I've seen unprecedented amounts of demonic activities. I've seen a spirit of fear and demonic control. In fact, I hear this term a lot. My family is freaking out. And I've heard it from a whole bunch of people, not just one or two people. And I'm always thinking, you know, when you start a sentence with, my family is freaking out, well, that speaks plenty to you as to the source, because God's not freaking out. And panic and fear is never God. I don't care how you window dress it. I want to see a people of faith rise, even in this era, that trust God first, that believe God is directly involved in their lives. What has God called you to do? You need to follow him. He needs to lead you. Be careful what leads you. Faith needs to lead you. You need to understand what God's doing. I wrote in my notes, we mustn't make the mistake of seeing faith as a magic power that grants wishes, or that it simply empowers us like Superman, but rather, we must realize that every faith you receive is deeply connected to God's actions. And is so much a matter of following him where he goes. This is the bottom line today. And this is the desperate. I want to tell you something. Trials don't wreck character. Trials reveal character. Listen to me closely. Hardships, trials, and different distresses that come our way, they don't wreck your faith. They reveal your faith. Times like this are amazing for many reasons. But one I would mention to you is they really show what you're made of. They show what you trust, who you trust. They reveal a lot of things. I think a lot of Christians are really going through it. I've seen fear. I've seen spirits of suicide. I've heard all kinds of things. And it's interesting because a lot of stuff, and I'm saying this, I'm not putting down anybody for what they're trying to do. You wear a mask when you go into the store. I'm all good with that. But I'm watching many times fear, it even exceeds the actual science. Paranoia. We have to understand something today, that trials allow us to step up and truly be freed. And as I see the demonic spirits moving, it has surprised me a bit. Because the Lord spoke to me early on, but what I've seen, I admit, has surprised me. But fire reveals. It always does, doesn't it? You know, if you take silver and you boil it, the dross will rise up to the top. Same with gold. If you boil the metal, the garbage rises to the top. So there's gold in you. There's gold in me. There's silver. There's precious stuff in us that God's placed there. I want you to get a hold of this. Fire will draw it up. And actually, if you see garbage coming up, don't freak out. God wants to free us. God wants to deliver us. God's called all of us. We are not slaves of the world. We are slaves of Christ. But faith is an important issue, very much so. It's required in every action, even the little ones you don't think. Do you believe what God says? Do you trust Him? Do you want to do what God asks of you? Now, again, don't make the mistake of thinking it's all about this season. It's not. My life has had to be in faith, and I've had to take many steps. God's calling you, and I got a scripture I definitely want to close with today, and I want to read it to you. And I really want you to get a hold of it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Wow. I think about the scripture in James. In Hebrews 11:6, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, it's interesting, because as we live before God, we need to know he's watching. As we do the things God's asked us, we need to believe that he has called us to do that, no matter what it is in your life. Another thing, too, and as we close, one of the ministries I consider an honor is prayer. In fact, as Leonard Ravenhill said, you know, you can judge a man by his prayer life. And I really want to say this. We need to know that as we are praying, God is hearing. And that needs not only to reflect what I'm praying, but I need to believe that God's got it in hand. And the most important thing today, I want you to quit trusting yourself. Many times when people get into bondage of fear, they trust themselves. There's an arrogance. Now, a lot of people always, you know, look at people in fear like they're weak. But actually, I'm revealing something, I believe, from the Spirit of the Lord. I know it's true. But many times fear is, there's an arrogance to it because we trust ourselves. That's arrogance. That's not a weakness. In fact, that's a strong will right there. When a person refuses to trust God for their future, for the callings God's placed, for what God wants to do, they're arrogant. It's not humble. It's not a weakness. In fact, many times there's kind of this whiny thing with people that are in fear, but it's narcissistic and it's arrogant. You trust yourself more than you trust God. You're arrogant, and I'm arrogant, because God is to be trusted with all things. I'm going to say in closing, how are you walking today? What is God going to ask of you? Are you going to believe the Lord for what He has spoken to your heart? Are you going to believe yourself? What has God asked you to do? Are you doing good in the simple things? See, I'm not really one of those guys that wants to sit around and talk about how bad my faith is. That's not going to give me comfort. I actually want to step out in faith. We need to start asking ourselves, how do we walk? Dangers, disasters, that doesn't call me to walk in fear. But even as we pray in a second here, in a couple minutes, we're going to ask God to really flush our spirits, that we want to be people of faith. And I hope you've got a long-term view. This isn't about now. This is about today for the rest of your Christian life. I want to ask the Lord, rid us of the self-dependency. Rid us of the arrogance sometimes, Father, because we trust our own actions way more than we trust you. And that does not work. That is not acceptable. And I want you to be praying for families. And families, I speak to all of you, whoever you're connected to. Many will tune into this more than even the invites we send out. Are you helping your family member believe God in faith, or are you fostering fear? Are you actually stepping up to the plate? Guys, are you being leaders of your home, trusting the Lord? Or are you peddling garbage? Who will take a stand? Who will help each other? If you're a believer, it is not only your duty, it is God's mandate that you stand up and have a backbone. If you have light in you, then you need to let that light shine, because there are so many people so afraid right now. And again, it's not just all about science. Fear has found a door in that, I've never seen the likes of it. How are you helping the people around you? Are you imaging total faith? Or when they look at you, they go, he or she is as paranoid as the world people. I hope not. Let it never be said of you. But let's close in a word of prayer, because I've seen demonic influences working. I want to see the end of it. I've seen kind of a whine, crying, soulish manifestation of panic. And I can tell you something really clear, and I'm not arrogant, but being truthful, fear is never of God, ever. And when people walk in fear and speak in fear, that's never God speaking to you. So I ask you to join with me as we pray and trust. Father, even today, throughout my life, not just now or later, I've seen plenty of fear. Lord, I see many soul tie connections, even to family lines, where they're working on third generation paranoia. And I don't mean just with this, but just in life. Lord, right now I am praying that you would break the binds. Lord, many of us walk in a fear that our great, 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 great relatives walked in, and it has went through the family line. Many, Lord, are walking in fear, not because of the current season, but they're walking in fear based on upbringing, events that happened to them when they were young. Lord, this kind of rooting of fear is not, it's long term. But I'm praying today, Lord, caution is just fine. But ultimately, we've got to trust you. Ultimately, you're my first line of defense. Lord, when I go into some store and put a mask on, in all truth, I've got to be honest, I trust you first. It says a horse is a vain hope, meaning it's the horse for battle really isn't what gives a victory, it's the Lord. I pray today as we dismiss that you would bless people. When we're bending down and praying, that we would believe you are hearing. When we open our scripture, we would have the faith and say, this is God's actual words to me. I got to get into it, because he is the source of all life. I would pray if we use our prayer language that we understand that it is speaking great mysteries to God. It edifies our inside. I would pray if we're praying in English, the minute we say, Father, the Father hears us. The minute we say, Father God, the Father hears us. I would pray those that in this season, that giving would be a something that's always happening, giving. I am praying and believing you today, God, that we would share, Father God, and understand the reasoning. Lord, we need to do that in faith too. I am grateful for those that give in faith. Lord, we need to pray. What do I share? How much? Not I did my percentage and that's all. Lord, there's so much more to all these areas of faith. I would pray today as we close in prayer. I know many, Lord, people are in their homes. I'm in my home. We're coming over video. And I would pray today that there would be a freedom and a shalom peace, God, peace. Break that soul tie. Lord, when people, we have to hold fear, God, because you wish to cast it out. If we got it, we're holding it. We're refusing to let it go. So let your people walk in shalom peace. Lord, bless every pastor in this country. Many are stepping out in faith, and it's an amazing thing. But bless, Lord, we pray for families right now too. Lord, we need to encourage one another in faith. That's what we need to be peddling. Faith. That's what we need to be talking about. We need to help those that we love trust you more, not trust you less. But we pray against the generational curses of fear, generational curses of lust, generational curses of pride and self-reliance. And I pray you would break it in the name of Jesus. You would break it in the name of Jesus. I speak even right now to the hearts, to the minds that are listening. And we are believing that you will break the bondage, God. We are not called to be stuck. Raise up a standard, Father. Help your people. We pray against those that are suffering depression. We pray in the name of Jesus that spirit of suicide would be put down in the believer's house. It would not be humored. That it would be put down. That it would be removed. We pray that depression would be turned to joy. We pray, God, for the mental health of all your people sitting out there right now. Because you said you will keep in perfect peace that he whose mind is stayed on thee. You didn't say it's hard to get. We can't really know it. Only some Christians can know perfect peace. That's nonsense. I pray peace in the name of Jesus. And I would pray right now all of us as saints would definitely guard our hearts from what I call panic pushers. Lord, I not only get irritated with it, but I just don't want that at all. I want your spirit to speak to me. It says the gentleness of wisdom. It's reasonable, pure, peaceable. That's wisdom when we're speaking it. Those are the qualities and the earmarks on it when it's from you. Break the back of the enemy as he has come against the church. Break the counsel of hell as it has come against many saints. We've all felt it. So I pray in the name of Jesus, right now it would snap. Right now it would break in the name of Jesus. Uproot. And I pray that this body, even in these times, we can stand up and be a people of faith. Yes, Lord. Yes. We can be a people of power. Yes, Lord, rid us of enablement. Rid us of trying to secure thinking and emotional states that just aren't from you, Father. I pray a shield of protection over the elderly. Father, you know we don't do this enough. I pray a shield of protection over the elderly. Those that are vulnerable, you would protect. Absolutely, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've been near death so many times, I cannot count. And it wasn't man that saved me. It wasn't even man or medicine. And yet I take medicine. I have no problem with that. But it was you that kept me alive. Even now, my times are in your hands. Right now, my days are numbered by you. Not by disaster, not by trauma, not by terrorists, not by any other power. You hold me. I trust you today. Do that work. I trust you today. And bless us as we close. And Lord, I'm thankful for our new lifers. Lord, I'm thankful for Barbara, for John, for Melissa, for Don, for Josh, for Dallas. I'm thankful this morning, Father, for Armand, for Matt, for my wife. I'm thankful for all these people. And I pray your blessing and your touch upon us. As we depart, I pray people's spirits would be charged up with faith today. They would not fear the future, but they would look at it in faith, knowing that God, every day you've written in your book, every day for our members, you've written every day for your people. It says you've written in the book before there was as yet one of them. You've got a plan. You've got words for us. You've got a peace for us. And I pray today in the name of Jesus, might we live in faith, might we pray in faith, might we give in faith, might we walk in faith, might we work in faith. So importantly, might we see where you're going, and as you say, Mike, follow me. That in obedience, we would follow you in obedience, trusting you. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.